Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Me to Luke chapter 9 and in verse 10. And this morning, I want you to realize that God is about to do a shift or a transition in your life if you want it. Been a good time for somebody to say amen. I said, if you want it. Now, if you want it, I dare you just to say, I want it. Okay, I don't want to be the same person I used to be. I don't want to have the same mindset I used to have. Oh, come on now. I don't want to have the same problems I used to. I thought somebody was going to help me, but I can go ahead and tell right now. It might be something we have to look at here. Are you with me? Luke chapter 9 and verse 10. And the apostles, when they returned, told him of all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place, belonging to the city of called Bethsaida. Now verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, they followed him, and he received them, and spoke unto them about the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. Verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, then the 12 said to him, send the multitude away, for they may be able to go into the towns and the country round about and lodge and get food. For we are here in a desert place. Anybody feel like you're in a desert place? Only a few of you, the rest of y'all. You just didn't want to say truth. But watch what Jesus said to them. But he said to them, give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we go and buy meat for all this people. And when they were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. Everybody say 50s. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. Everybody say, looking up to heaven. Looking up to heaven. He blessed them and he broke. And he gave to the disciples and set before the multitude. I know you know the story. And they did eat and they were all filled. Everybody say, all filled. And there was taken up fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And they said, John the Baptist. Some said Elias. And others said that one of the old prophets have risen again. And he said, but who do you say I am? And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. Now, how many of you have heard this story before? Do y'all mind if I take my time and really help you today? Because there's some things in this scripture that we never got a hold of until today. How many of you are ready to grab a hold of it? See, I need you to realize that here you find Jesus and you find the apostles together with a multitude of over 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. That's just men. That's not counting the daughters and the sons and the wives. And so you can imagine there was a big church meeting. And they didn't have air conditioning. They were in the desert. Glory to God for air conditioning. Some of y'all ain't saying nothing right now. I don't know about anybody else, but thank you, Jesus, you had me born at this time. I know I'm spoiled. But here you find the disciples coming to Jesus. Now catch this. The disciples coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, you need to send these people away so they can get something to eat. And isn't it interesting that Jesus looked at the apostles and he said, no, you feed them. Now see, I want to get us to realize some things and to watch some things shift in our life today. For so long, we have dealt with just saying, God, you just do it all. Lord, you just do it all. Come on, be honest with me. How many people come to church and they just want somebody to lay hands on them and it's all done? Come on, you come to church and all your bills is paid. Oh, y'all ain't going to say nothing. Good. Let me get, okay. How many of us come to church and we think, that's it, that's the magical token right there? And the truth is, the Lord is looking at his disciples and his apostles, and he's saying, no, you feed them. Can I help everybody here? This was a test. This was a test to show them that they still had some things they had to shift. Oh, you guys, listen. Now watch this. Because today I'm going to show you something. He looks at them and he says, you feed them. And they said, there's not enough here. All we have. Look at somebody and say, all we got. Five loaves, two fish. That ain't very much, is it? Five loaves, two fish. What did Jesus do? The first thing he did was he split everybody up in groups of 50. Now, can I help everybody here? Because I'm going to take you deep for a second, so don't look at me like I'm crazy. How many of y'all want more than just a word? You want rhema. Anybody want rhema word? Jesus did everything for a reason. When you look at him breaking down the people into groups of 50, if you study the number 50 in your Bible, it means to be filled. It means to be filled. It means to be the Holy Ghost. It's meant to be an infilling to where there's more than enough. Oh, y'all, guys, y'all. Do you understand? Jesus was trying to show his disciples, you got to position or shift people into the place where they can be filled. No, why are we so worried about the things that had us back here when God is trying to shift you into the place he can fill you up? No, look at somebody and say, fill. How many of you are tired of being empty? How many of you are tired of your pocketbook being empty? How many of you are tired of your health being empty sometime? I ain't got no strength. I can't do this. I can't do that. No, I hear the Lord saying, look, it's time for me to go ahead and get you into a place where you can be filled, where you can be encouraged, where you can be not just physically, but spiritually. The first thing he did was look at his disciples and said, now you feed them. And the disciples looked at the problem instead of the provision. Write that down. You're going to need to write that down, because here's the thing. In every Christian's life who has not seen a move of God, it's because you're focused on the problem and not looking for the provision. All of the apostles looked at him and went, what do you want me to do with this? I'm looking at the problem. I'm looking around at people's faces. I hear the babies crying because they're hungry. Don't let that happen around Stephanie. She goes, digs out snacks from everywhere, and all the babies get fed in the church. Hello, y'all. Listen, you got to realize, you know, when you touch a mama's heart, you let that baby cry. Come on, could you imagine, as Jesus is sitting there and you've got 5,000 men plus kids and women, you can imagine there were some little kids running around going, mama, when are we eating? Daddy, what are we going to do? We're out here in the middle of nowhere. But the apostles, those disciples, were so fixed on the problem, they never looked to the provision, to the source of their provision. The source of their provision was sitting right in front. How many of us in here are realizing that right now you're looking at the problem, but the source of your provision is right here? He said he would never leave you or forsake you, didn't he? Y'all ain't helping me. No, y'all ain't helping nothing. Because in your mind, you're so attached to the problem, and it's so many hooks in your life that you can't see that he is there. Can I just help you? The apostles lived from a place in the flesh. They looked at what was in front of them. For now, you do realize later on in their life they grew in this area. Jesus did what? Bring it to me. I'll take your little. Now y'all got to hear me. Can I just go ahead and help everybody here? Are you ready? Why are you worried about what you don't have when you really should understand what you do have? Why are you worried about the things that you don't have right now when you have to look at what I do have? Because guess what? If he brought me to the place where I have what I have now, what makes you think that he won't supply for you to keep it? Come on. See, in our mind, we're stuck in the problem again instead of looking at the provision. See, the difference was is that Jesus knew his inheritance. Jesus knew his relationship with the Father. You understand that the apostles and disciples still haven't realized. They still hadn't realized that the King of all kings, the Son of God, was right there with them. You understand that all Jesus had to really do was look up to heaven and go, "Can I have some manna, please?" No, see, y'all, listen, you have to understand that if the Bible says if you ask, you receive, do you understand the Son of God could look up and say, "Hey, Daddy, I need some manna and I need a little bit of rain or water coming out of a rock right now. You did it before." But instead, he decided to use the little. And the first thing he did was what? How many of y'all in here, the Lord's done a miracle in your life at one point in time? He broke the problem in front of your Y'all making me want to preach. I feel a preach coming on. Come on, how many of y'all had a miracle in your life where he took your problem and broke it right in front of you? Come on, he just broke your problem right in front of you. Oh, come on. See, some of y'all in here need to grab a hold of that. You forgot. You forgot what he did before once. You forgot what he's already done one time in your life. And you forgot how he broke that thing right in front of you. Oh, y'all, come on now. Y'all got to realize it's because what happens is the enemy makes you think that your problem is bigger than the last problem. I'm about to crank up another gear. And he broke the problem. Because as he broke it, you have to realize the source and the inheritance came together. At that moment, the Father said, "Now, oh boys, y'all ready? Hey, bakers, every time he tears a piece, put a piece back." Every time that he breaks a piece, put it back. Make sure that there's more than enough. Do you understand the reason why there was 12 baskets left over was to teach the disciples that they were the ones that were supposed to feed him in the first place. So there was a basket for all the 12. Could you imagine the 12 looking at their basket going, "You know what? If I would have just got my eyes off the problem and put my eyes on the source and the provision, then this basket wouldn't have to sit in front of me right now. I could have been the one giving instead of the one receiving." Oh, golly. Can we just get to the place where we learn who we are? To get to the place where we're so full of his presence and the inheritance and the love of God that we begin able to give and not worried about having to be the one to receive. And you find right after that, they eat and he dismisses them. They go off to pray. Now, are you ready? Here comes the real good part. And it came to pass, verse 18, that while he was alone, his disciples were with him. He asked him, saying, "What do people say I am?" Some said, "John the Baptist, Elias, or one of the prophets of old." But verse 20, and he said unto them, "But who do you say I am?" Who do you say Jesus is? No, guys, I got to come down here again. Who do you say he really is? Is he your supply? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? Is he your, come on, fill in the blank. What is he to you? Come on, how many of us in here are beginning to realize that right now? I've lost my focus on Jesus because of my problem. He was trying to shift those men of God and get them to realize, who do they say I am and who do you say I am? See, here's the difference. In the world today, people will keep saying who Jesus ain't. Well, he was just a prophet. He was just a teacher. No, he's the Son of the living God. He is the Christ, the anointed one. He's the only one that beat death, hell, and the grave. He's the only one who can change your life from going to a place that you should have never gone to being in a place you were supposed to be. Oh, you guys, y'all ain't going to help me in here. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? See, can I help my church this morning? Can I just ask you, who do you say he is? Because who you say he is who you receive. When you go to Wendy's, I want a 4 for $4. Spicy chicken nuggets. Double stack. No pickles. No onions. Hold the ketchup. And when you leave that order in line, when you get to the window, you get spicy chicken nuggets. A double stack with no onions, no pickles, and no ketchup. Because of what you said. Who do you call Christ in your life? Who is he to you? Who is he to you personally? Is he just the miracle maker? Is he just the healer? Is he just the one who loved you and saved you? Or is he the one who is your husband? The one you want the relationship with. The one you want to be intimate. Ah, see, I'm not looking for what he's handing out. I'm looking for what he's holding on to. Ah, come on, guys. Listen, I will receive all of that. All I want is just his arms wrapped around me. All I want is his love. All I want is his closeness. All I want is just his breath on my face. It's all I want. It's all I desire, because if I got him, nothing else can fill me. Nothing else can contaminate me. Who do you say I am? Are you just the one that everybody preaches to you about? Are you just the one that touched this person but can't touch you? Oh, you of little faith. Peter steps up and he says, you're Christ, the anointed one of God. Do you understand that through that process of the problem, y'all ain't going to help me. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. You're still looking at your problem when it's the process of getting you to look at the one who can take care of the problem. Is this helping anybody? Is this speaking to anybody's life right now? Because when you look at this thing, you begin to realize, you're just like, oh my goodness, I've heard this a million times, but I just never realized in my heart or my mind that what Jesus was trying to do is shift them from a place of being in the flesh to realizing their inheritance, to realize who they really are and who Christ really is to them. Can we keep going? Can you handle some more? Go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Y'all don't mind if I move you a little bit. Poke somebody and say, we're going to move. Poke somebody on the other side nicely and tell them we're going to move. Some of you guys are rough on the person by you. Matthew chapter 14, when you get there. And again, guys, I'm giving you things you've read 100 times, some 1,000. Are you with me in Matthew chapter 14? Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, and he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up in the mountain apart to pray. Verse 23. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It was fighting against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, it's a spirit. They cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. It is, say it, it is. Did you ever know the reason why we use the letter I? It's a singular, one. There is nobody else like. It is I. Anybody ever been in the middle of a storm in your life and the Lord just said, okay, it is I. I'm here. Come on, anybody ever been in a place where the I showed up? You wonder why they call the eye of a hurricane. Never mind. I'll just leave that one alone. You ready? And Peter answered to him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come onto the water. Wait a minute. Isn't this the same Peter that just said that he was the anointed one? Come on. Out of every one of these guys here, there's one of them that's starting to grab a hold of this thing. No, y'all got to help me. How many of you are grabbing a hold of what's being loose this morning? You're grabbing a hold of it. You're beginning to realize, hey, Lord, you know what? In some ways, I'm a Peter. Let me just keep on grabbing for this thing. If that's you in the midst of my storm, then just bid me. Oh, no, y'all. No, see, a lot of y'all right now, the storm is raging, but you wondering where your provision is. You wondering where your Savior is. And the eye is in the middle of the storm. Oh, golly. Whew. And as he's there, he's just walking along doing what he's supposed to do. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Do I need to read it? Let me just read it. Y'all still with me? And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'll leave that one alone because everybody preaches on that. And when he saw the wind boisterous, everybody say, here comes the problem. And when the problem comes, here comes fear. Be honest with me. How many of y'all in the middle of a problem? And how many of you begin to let fear rise up? Uh-oh, Pastor, you preaching right here. Just go ahead and preach right there, Pastor, for just a minute. You know, that's absolutely right. Yes, that's absolutely the truth. And he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O, you of little faith, where didst thou doubt? How could you doubt now? You just stepped out on something that was absolutely liquid, and you walked almost all the way to me, and then when you got there, you led the problem. How many of you realize that Jesus is right here? The Lord can't immediately touch you if he's not close. Guys, y'all, how is it that we get right to our breakthrough, we get right to our miracle, we get right to our deliverance, and we're right at the fingertips of Jesus, and all of a sudden the problem begins to get a little bit louder, and when it does, all of a sudden we allow fear to begin to push us down. No, y'all got to help me. See, it's one thing, it says he began to sink. Do you understand? To cause something to sink, you got to press it. You wonder why some of you in here are so heavy is because you got a spirit of fear on you that needs to be broken. Preach, Pastor. I'm about to run. I feel the presence of God. But you need to understand, at that moment, he allowed the problem to be bigger than the Christ in front of him. But at least Peter got one thing right. Help me! Anybody here ever yelled to Jesus, help me? No, y'all, don't be shy and don't be prideful in the house. Come on, anybody ever been to the place where you just went, help! I'm getting ready to walk out the door to church and all of a sudden pain racks my body. You better believe Pastor went, I got to preach this morning. I need a little bit of help. I'm still standing. That fear began to press him down, but you got to understand, fear can't overcome Jesus. Some of y'all never caught that until just now. Some of y'all ain't never caught that until just now. For as much as fear tries to push you down, you got the hand of the one who broke all fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6-7, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, I gave you power, love, and a sound mind. Who gave it to me? Christ did. Oh, come on, power. Power to be able to get back up on the thing that I'm not supposed to walk over and just keep right on cruising. A sound mind so that I don't look at the problem, I look at the one who's behind the problem. Good preaching, Pastor. And as fear began to press him down in his problem, immediately, He was taken by the hand of Jesus. Just grab it. See, sometimes we wonder, God, can you really do it? And the truth is that Jesus just pulled him right back up out. That'll help you deal with something, won't it? Lord, can you really pull me out of this? I'm in the middle of this storm. Can you really pull me out of this? And it said immediately he reached out, picked him back up, and they walked back to the boat. And he looked at Peter and he said, oh, you of little faith. Sometimes I wonder, what did he tell the rest of the disciples when he got in the boat? Never mind. See, y'all look at the Bible as a bunch of stories. I look at it as real in life. I imagine there was some teaching going on in the boat whenever Jesus started to get those guys to go back to the other side. And he looked at Peter and kind of gave him the wink and he said, you just had a little bit of faith. I don't know where their faith went. Do you understand something begin to shift? You see it? You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. Something is shifting in Peter's. You wonder why Jesus looked at Peter and said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Can I just help you? Can I just help? Is everybody here? Are you okay? Is it working? Can I just help you for a second? Christ is just waiting for you to get a hold of this so he can build. The Lord is just waiting for you to get this revelation so he can build on you. Oh, God, I want that so bad in my life. Lord, help me shift my eyes from the problem to the one who's the provision. Can I just help you? Kenny, come here. Kevin, come here. Y'all, come here. Come up here. Hold that for me. I want you to walk over there. Would you hold that for me? Walk right there. Come here, Tyrone. Everybody say lack. Everybody say overflow. Lack. Overflow. Lack. Overflow. Problem. You preach this for me, problem? See, here's the thing. There has to be a transition. There has to be a shift to get you from the place of lack to the place of something I can't see. And 98% of the time, it is the problem. Everybody has problems in different ways. Oh, y'all going to help me. Some of us, it's in our minds. Some of us, it's in our bodies. Some of us, it's in our friends. Some of us, it's in our family. Some of us, it's just, never mind. I'm just going to quit right there before I get in trouble. But you find that the problem, no matter what it does, will always face you. Because the intentions is to always block you from the things of God. And as long as you stand still and decide not to follow God or to follow Christ and stay in the boat, then the problem is always in the way from the blessing from whatever you need from him is there. So what has to happen is that you've got to learn to shift. There's some things that you can't pull out of the way. No, y'all ain't going to help me. There is some things that you can't. You go ahead and tell me, well, I smoke cigarettes. Well, guess what? I can throw it down anytime I want to, really. Try it. Do it on your own. Oh, the willpower. You did good. I'm on 2 weeks. Everybody else is walking around you on eggshells. There's some things you can't move. It takes someone to lead you, to shift you, to show you how to overcome. Now, that's a big old boy to overcome right there now. I may have to get a running start, but I could probably leap over them. But, you know, you got to realize that there's some things in your life that God has to shift you so that you can begin to. And here's the problem with some of y'all. Some of y'all, let's just say all of us. We get a glimpse of it every once in a while. Because some of us don't want to deal with our problems. It's easier to run from them. But there comes a time when you have to shift. And then you have to press to get to the overflow. Do you understand that what Jesus was trying to teach them with the 5,000 was that they were looking at the place of lack. And Jesus was already in the place of overflow. You say, well, he's the Son of God. No, he was trying to teach all of us, not just the apostles, not just the disciples. He's trying to teach all of us. You got to come out of a place of lack. And shift to get into the place of the overflow. See, this is where we were designed to be. We're called to be above and not below. We're called to be the head and not the tail. But yet we allow our problems to keep us from our overflow instead of trusting the one who can give it all to, has placed it all and has purchased it all for you to receive it. Oh, so you got that one. I'll put overflow right there. Let me put overflow right there. So let me just go to the next one. You let your storm. Hold that one. And you're relinquishing your safety. Let me just bring this one over here. Can you hold that one for me? Hold on to it tight. Keep it safe. If that be you, Lord. How many of us has ever asked a question? Lord, why am I in this storm? Car breaking down, kids acting up, bank accounts funky, blah, blah, blah. Guys, can I just help everybody here? The devil has no new tricks. So why, every time it comes around, you're just like, oh, man, I beat you once. The Lord will help me beat you again because this ain't my battle. See, here's the problem is that, again, you're holding on to the problem. You're doing really good. Big problem. Lord, if that really is you, then bid me to come. See, you have to understand, he was in the middle of the storm. Brother, I'm going to get you some stepladder or something. Making me bend in ways I don't bend. How am I supposed to preach like this? When you're in the middle of the storm, the problem is all you see. When you're in the middle of everything, all you see is the problem because your eyes are fixed on the wind, the waves, the turmoil, the stuff. But you have to understand that in the middle of the storm, there is still one who's not bound by the storm. Y'all ain't going to help me. See, everybody in their mind just thinks, well, Lord, I know you're here. He's just cruising along beside you going, right here. I'm right here. And in the middle of your storm, there's the problem. And you hear a voice from the other side. Be of good cheer. It is I. I'm walking on this rascal. You're still stuck in it. But I've already overcame it. I've already caused it to bow. I've already caused it to bow. I have the authority over it. No, y'all guys, y'all ain't hearing this. He has the authority over every one of your storms, your tests, your trials, your failures, your ups, your downs, your sidewayses. He still has the ability. I'm right here. Smile is going to be okay. If that be you, Lord. I know all of y'all are real brave when you come to the Lord sometimes in the middle of your storm. If that's really you, Lord, then just tell me to come. What you waiting for? Somewhere about this point, now y'all going to catch this. Somewhere about this point, come up here. Somewhere about this point, he goes from keeping his eyes on the Lord to putting his eyes on the storm. And when he gets right here, the problem gets bigger than his faith. There's some of y'all in here. I know this is really hitting home, but some of you in here, you've allowed your problem to get bigger than your faith. You got to learn to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Can I just give you some help? I turn on the most powerful praise and worship I can find. I pray in tongues. I pray up in the Holy Ghost. So what happens is that I begin to not look at the problem because the source, and what you don't understand is that at this point, as I begin to sink, then he pushes the problem out of the way. And he reaches down and he pulls me back up again. Do you understand? I can't move my problem. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, this is yes. This is yes. Are you seeing this? Is everybody catching this and putting it in your heart? Thank you, man. You can have a seat for just a second. Don't go far. Don't go far. You know what? Can I have that safety? I'm going to put it right here. Just put it right there for me. Everybody say overflow. Everybody say safety. Can you handle one more? Are you sure? Can you handle two more? Matthew 17, real quick. I'll just read it and I'm going to show it to you. Ready? Men, don't go far. Matthew 17, verse 24. When they come to Capernaum, there they received tribute money. They had to pay taxes. And it came to Peter and they said, who did they come to? Who did they come to? Boy, this guy gets picked on a lot. Anybody here feel like you get picked on? Oh, raise your hand. Come on, guys. Listen, how many of you feel like the devil just picks on you? Does your master not pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, Jesus stopped him at the door. So what'd you say, boy? Oh, I'm sorry. I should have done that in King James. Thou shaltest not come into the house. No. He looked at me and said, what did you do? Do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Or do their children or of strangers? And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said, then are the children free? In other words, he looked at him and he says, why am I paying taxes on my father's house? It's my daddy. It's my inheritance. No, y'all missing it already. See, you have to understand Jesus already knows what's his. And can I help you? He was all flesh and had to deal with what we have to deal with. No, y'all ain't going to help me. Do you think there wasn't a time the devil wouldn't come to him and say, need some money? You know, all you have to do is just speak to that rock right now to turn to bread. See, even the devil knows that Christ can do the miracles. So why should I pay tribute on what's mine? Well, we need to change some thinking, don't we, saints of God? Watch what he said. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Do you understand Jesus is worried about if he offends you or not? Saying, go to the sea and cast a hook. Did he say bait it? Did he say bait it? Because then it would be man. No, y'all got to catch this. Just go cast the hook. I don't know about anybody. I've never caught a fish on just a hook. And I love to fish. Hello? Watch this. And take up the fish, the first one that comes up, and when you have, open his mouth, and you'll find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and for you. For me and for you. 1 minute, can you handle it? Do you understand that Jesus has already paid your bills? He's already paid all of his bills. Do you understand? He's trying to tell you, if you'll just tie in, I'll take care of that too. Peter, I'm trying to work on you. Have you noticed in every one of these is Peter? Peter's the only one that's getting this thing. You wonder why he says, upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's because Peter was the only one that really was getting it. How many of y'all want to be a Peter? I know we just as hard-headed as Peter. And everybody in here said amen. We all just as hard-headed as Peter. We want to do things in our own way. But yet you find him saying, Peter, I want you to go and just take the hook. Okay. It's my job to catch him. It's his job to clean him. You just take the hook. Now, if y'all go down to the bridge with a fishing pole with no bait, and by faith you cast it over and go, Lord, I'm ready to catch me some money today. If you do, come see me. Because I want to know where you're fishing. You find him pulling this fish up, the very first fish he caught. Do you understand that if he would have thrown the hook back again, he'd have caught more fish? Y'all miss that. He said, the first fish. He said, I don't want you to have to wait till the second or third one, Miss Dot. I don't want you to wait for 3 months to get your bill. No, the first one. In other words, this is a timely matter. Let me just make sure you get it on the first try. Come on, how many of us want it on the first try? No. Raise your hand. Just say the first try, Lord. Lord, hey, let us learn this thing where the first time it comes around, all right, we're going to pull this one out, okay? Let me get this the first time. And when he pulled it out, he paid for his taxes, and he also paid for Peter's taxes. Now, can I take you to the last one? Can you handle this last one? Just a couple minutes. Can you do it? I can stop now, but if you really want it, I'll give it to you. You still got your Bibles open. Turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Is everybody still doing okay? Are you learning? How many of this is igniting your spirit? John chapter 11. Verse 1. I'm going to move quickly so y'all stay with me. There was a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, don't just read your Bible, read your Bible. Don't just read your Bible. Really read your Bible. What happened in those four verses? The one that he loved, the one that was close to him. And Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. For what reason? That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Everybody say setup. Everybody say shift. Transformation. Transition. Do you understand that? Listen, there might be some things in your life that are absolutely dead. You ain't going to help me. Dreams, things that God's given you that are absolutely dead. But I promise you, if you will just but trust him and realize who is he to you. Let me just stop before I give it away. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he heard therefore that he was sick, he waited two more days in the same place he was. If he really loved him, do you think he really should have stuck around? If he really loved Lazarus, he could have went then and healed Lazarus. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes I ask the Lord, what kept him there for two more days? How important was it? Now, y'all see, y'all look at things and think it was because Jesus was being mean. Everything that Jesus did is because he listened to and he seen from the Father. There was something going on in 2 days right there. I believe that God had divinely set up. Can we keep going? Go down to verse 11. Are you still with me? I want to go to verse 21. I don't have time to go there. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast just been here, my brother would not have died. Everybody say Martha said it. But I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, look at this. Don't just read your Bible. I am the resurrection and the life. Stop. I. Not then, I am now. No, guys, y'all got to hear me. No, listen, your problem, again, is your problem keeping you from the I am? Is your problem keeping you from the first person who's right in front of you? He's right behind your problem who can move your problem and deliver and set free and prosper and grow and heal and deliver and raise the dead if he has to. No, y'all ain't going to help me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you understand? Lazarus believed Jesus. Some of y'all put a lot less power in your belief. Lazarus believed in Jesus. I believe when Lazarus took his last breath, he knew that Jesus was on the way. No, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Come on, I'm just stretching your mind. Can I just do that? Can I just get you beyond your norm and just get ready to just pull you like Gumby and just say, guys, do you understand that Lazarus believed? And she said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art a son, that you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God, which shall come into this world. Everybody say that was Martha. What did he try to shift in her? The same thing he'd been working on Peter. This is the same woman that broke the oil and washed her feet and took her tears and her hair and just began to love and anoint him. Do you understand that? This is all that family. This is the older sister. And the next person you run to is Mary, the one who actually did the anointing. How many of y'all are still with me? 32. Y'all don't mind if I calm down for just a minute just to get you this. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Can I just be truthful with you? He got a righteous anger that went into the core of his spirit. Because you know why? The enemy tried to take Lazarus before Lazarus's time. Can I just go ahead and tell everybody in here? You are a prized possession. And when the enemy messes with you, y'all ain't going to hear me. Y'all not going to hear me because you don't want to hear me. You are a prized possession. And when the enemy comes after you, you got one that's getting ready to come after him. We keep going. Are you still with me? And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. Can you stop right there for a second? It says he feels your infirmities. Not only was he angry because of what the enemy had done, you wonder why he went down and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He said, you ain't going to have the ability to take death from the men of God and women of God no more. That's why some of you are still alive today. Can I be honest with you? It's probably the only reason why you're still alive today. It's because the enemy wanted you dead so you wouldn't be a threat. So Jesus said, I'll just take that from you because No. They have something to do for my Father. So I'll just take that. Let me keep going. Y'all make me preach more. Verse 39. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. For he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, said I not to you that if you would just believe that you would see the glory of God? Watch. Again, he's trying to shift. Did I not tell you that I am the resurrection? Did I not tell you that I already done it? Did I not tell you I have the ability to get it done now? Did I not tell you that if you would just believe, then the dead thing that you think is done and absolutely quit and finished, that'll be the very thing. I'll cause it all to come. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said this, Father, I thank you that you already heard me. No. Watch this. He had already prayed the prayer. No, y'all, you still ain't got it. You need to understand, before he got there, he'd done prayed the prayer. He already knew what was going to happen. He had already said what was going to happen. And he said, Father, I thank you. You've already heard me. y'all doing all right? And I know that you heard me always. And because of the people which I stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know the rest of the story. It said he had a napkin over his face and he was bound in every area. Could you imagine old homeboy trying to come out? This is some of the dances the kids do nowadays. They got it from Lazarus. There's a three-step process in here. There's a three-step process in here for everybody here. You ready? There's a Martha where the Lord's done told you. There's a three-step process in here for all of you here. You ready? Some of y'all are on the stage of Martha. You're just in the process where the Lord told you that he was the I am. And then some of you are in the Mary stage, is when you knew when he showed up. Y'all read that verse and you say, but if you would have just been here, then he wouldn't have died. Do you understand? That was before he died. Now she's looking at him going, you're here. You're here. Y'all see it? You're here. Did you know it was her and her faith? That's what punched Jesus to the core. When he watched her tears and the people around them, it caused him to begin to. I got to go do what I already prayed for. It was just enough tenacity. See, can I just help you? I believe Jesus is a lot like us in some ways too, because he's flesh. When people tell you you can't do something, well, you know you can't do. You don't know me. You don't know me. How many of y'all said that? You don't know me. You just think you know me, but you don't know me. I can't do it. I'll find somebody who's going to help me do it, but we're going to do this. You have to understand, at that moment, Jesus knew who he was. And the last one is Lazarus. You say, Pastor, how does he tie into this? He just believed. You read the scripture. Didn't he just say that? I can even raise the dead for those that believe. Some of y'all are so worried about some things that have escaped you. Can I just say this and just be all right for everybody? There's some things that in your life that the enemy stole or you've given up. Okay? And you have been still believing that God can do it. And I got good news for you. The thing that used to be dead is getting ready. The thing that everybody else said you better leave it alone, it's stinky dead. I don't care if it was your family or a spouse or an ex-spouse. I don't care who it was. You have to understand that there is one that the problem has already been defeated when he took the keys. Death is not just physically, it's also spiritually. When's the last time you felt the power of God move in your life? When's the last time you felt the manifestation of the presence of God in a powerful way in your life? I got news for you. He's getting ready to call your name. I dare to look at somebody and say, you getting ready to come out? Oh, death? Anybody here in an area of their life right now that that's what it feels like to you? I'm going to challenge you before you leave here today. Come up and step on it. She said, I ain't waiting till the end of the day. I'm coming up right now. People told you you shouldn't be able to do it. People told me I still shouldn't be here. People told me we ain't going to move into a new church. People say nothing good comes out of Georgetown. Got news for you. The best is yet to come. I want to ask everybody here. This sermon this morning, has it helped you shift? Has it helped you transition? Hey, Peters, get it. I'm learning it. Listen, your pastor right now, I'm telling you, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm gonna keep going until I arrive. I got the tenacity and the drive that, listen, whatever can't kill me just makes me stronger. And guess what? He can't kill me, so I'm just gonna get stronger. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. There's some areas in your life right now where death has took a hold of you. I declare to you in the name of Jesus that today that the passion and the dream that God gave you is getting ready to come back alive. The enemy will come and try to talk you out of it. He will try to place the problem in front of your face over and over again to get you distorted or to block your view. Today I ask you, will you learn to be like a Peter and just keep going until you grab it? There's some of you in here, you're in a place of lack. Like Peter, you put yourself there in many situations. But there is one that wants you to be free. He wants you to be in a place of overflow. There's some of you in the middle of a storm. And he's crying out to you, I am your refuge and your fortress. Today, I know that this has touched people's hearts all over this whole sanctuary because it changed my life. I don't preach something I don't live. Today, I want to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in one of these areas of your life right now, be truthful with not just me, but the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand and just say, it's me. Hands going up all over the sanctuary. Lord Jesus, I ask you that right now, that Lord, you shift us and transition us, help us see not the problem, but the provision, the source of change. Lord, today I just ask you right now that Lord, your Holy Spirit just begins to minister to every person in here. Those that have their hands up and those that don't. Lord, help us to see that we do have an inheritance. We are a child of God. And that you never leave us. So Lord, we release right now. If you lifted your hand, I want you just to release what's going on in your life right now. Just release it. Just right now, give it to him. Just let it go. Lord, we release it now. We let it go now. Father God, we thank you that today we are not leaving this place the same way we came in. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done. And today we receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.